You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 132 for August 5th, 2014.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk about running every week. At least that's the plan. Today's going to be no different. Kind of some odd things to talk about today. We're going to talk, probably touch on some weird wildlife. Of course, we'll run through some running news. We will talk about, probably spend some time about some drama from the SF Marathon, which is interesting and crazy in some ways. And we're going to finish off with a little bit of a gear review, and that's going to do it for today.
Yeah.
So that's the plan. Let's start with our weekend trainings, and I'll let you go first.
All right. I had a pretty good week, so still in Kauai Marathon, Kauai Marathon training mode. So that's, what, 5 weeks now? 4.5 weeks now?
It's getting there.
It's close. It's getting close. So I actually did, in terms of running, just under 43 miles, so pretty good week. And one of those runs was a tempo run, which I'm really liking tempo runs now because I look at time versus miles, really, when I'm doing my tempo run. But anyways, and then I actually ended up doing a 20-mile long run on the trail, which I know Kauai Marathon is not going to be on the trail, but it's also not flat. And so I figured the best way for me to sort of mimic or create, you know, the same type of ups and downs and hilly course was to go out and run on the trail. So I did that. And it was a good run. I mean, it went out to a park, and it's funny. I get to the park where I've run before. I actually did quite a bit of running there for like Way Too Cool and everything. So I get over there and I'm like, wow, people are here pretty early. Cause I was there pretty early. It's on the weekend. And I see people who look like runners. I'm like, there seems to be a lot of runners here today. So I've actually done this before. I've mentioned this before on another run, totally separate run. I'm like, huh. I'm like, oh, some people are wearing bibs. I'm like, darn it. I'm here on race day again. Right. Cause I've done that once before.
You seem to have really strange luck with showing up at places and there just happened to be a race that day.
Yeah. And I actually purposely looked on several websites for, companies that put on trail races in the area that I know of that would put a race there, and none of them had it on their calendar. I'm like, okay, I should be good. Plus it's on a Sunday. You tend to see more of the trail races on a Saturday. I'm like, I think I should be okay. But there was actually a 50K going on there, and I just didn't realize it until I got there. But it was a pretty small group of people. So it didn't really affect me in any way. And I don't think I affected them in any way. So I ended up starting my run about 10 minutes after they started their race, but we were heading in opposite directions. Still running on, actually, no, not opposite directions this time. We were actually running in the same direction. So I shared some of their course, but with them leaving before me, I only saw, I think, two or three of the runners, basically people that were in the back of the pack. And then they obviously do a loop much larger than mine. So I didn't see anybody else again for the entire morning, or I was gonna say race, but I wasn't in the race, so I didn't do a 50K. But it's funny, when I pulled into the parking lot and then I realized it was a 50K, I thought, huh, 50K, how many miles was I going to do today? Just for like a split second, I was like, maybe I should do same day sign up. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm here for like a 20 miler. I am nowhere ready for another 50K right now. I don't have my stuff or anything like that. So, but yeah, it's just funny that it happened again. But anyways, on my run, I actually got to see a little bit of wildlife. So I saw a couple of turkeys, which is not unheard of there. I've seen them before. Not a big deal. Saw some goats that were actually on the job, they were working, you know, eating whatever they have to eat. But it's there was a lot of them in a small like area, you know, just working behind
And you actually said they were on one side of the trail doing their thing, eating the grass. And then by the time you came back through, they were on the other side of the trail. They had moved
already. They moved them over and I missed it. Yeah, because I actually ended up doing two loops around this area. So yeah, they were on the right side of the trail and I was like, you know, stopped, took a couple pictures, kept going. And then when I came back through, I'm like, wait a minute, they were on this side. Where'd they go? And then they were on the opposite side. So that was pretty funny. And I actually saw some bird that I don't even know. I don't know what it is.
Was it a grouse?
No, wasn't a grouse and it wasn't a turkey. Okay. Something else, but it was a really relatively large bird. So I just had to stop and like look at it and I'm like, is this for real? Like this is pretty big, just out on a branch over the lake. And took a picture and I showed you when I got home and I don't think you know what it is either, right? But pretty cool looking bird.
Yeah. Maybe so, that'll be our picture for this episode.
And there
if
you
anybody
go.
Knows, you can fill us in. If
yes,
you have any
please,
wildlife experts.
Yeah, I don't know anything about birds really. So that was my 20-mile long run. Went slower pace wise than I would have doing a 20-mile long run on road.
Obviously.
Yeah. But again, I wanted to have some hills and some ups and downs getting ready for Kauai Marathon. Because now getting a little nervous, not just about the humidity and the weather, but about the course. And I keep trying to check on their website, the profile, the elevation profile, and I can't seem to get it to load. So now I'm freaking out even more. I'm like, because maybe the elevation profile is way worse than what I thought. And now I can't seem to access it. So I'm like panicking a little bit. But
well, now you're just worrying for no reason.
I don't know about no reason. So, okay. So aside from that, I actually got on the bike again one day this week. Did 3 days of strength training. Actually swam one day. I know. Okay. Nobody fall off your bikes if you're riding a bike when you're listening to this.
So now you're done for the summer, right?
That's, yeah, that was it. That was my... Well, I'm hoping I'm not done for the summer.
We'll talk about that again next year.
Yeah, there you go. And I also did one thing that I haven't done in I don't know how long, and I actually didn't... You don't even know that I did this. I actually did yoga one day.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, popped in the video.
At the gym? Oh, no. At home. Okay.
Yeah, and did yoga and felt really good. I mean, I'm totally inflexible. Like, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's pretty sad. I mean, some of them, it just looks like I'm not even moving, really, because I'm, like, reaching. I'm like, this is really how far I go. But I'm going to try to do that at least once a week.
Oh, okay.
I'd I'd like to do it more often, but I mean, just realistically, I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt really good. It was tough, of course, but I felt really good after. And even the next day, I just felt better. Felt like kind of stretched out a little bit. I don't know how to explain it, so I'm going to try to do that. So overall, pretty good week, I think, mm-hmm. in terms of training. Oh, and I've also been incorporating some shoes that I haven't worn in a while, the Brooks Pureflow.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been easing into those because the drop on those is different than what I normally wear, which is the adrenaline. Yeah, which is the Brooks Adrenaline. So I've been basically rotating them into my shorter runs, doing like 4 milers, 5 milers, but actually did a 12 miler in them this last week and felt pretty good. So it feels nice to kind of switch it up, which we know we mentioned before.
Right, rotate
those shoes. Different shoes. So I think I'm just going to keep doing that. So, yeah, I think that was it for my week. How was your week?
My week, far less interesting. I continue to be super busy. But the one thing I actually did do this week was get in all my days of running.
They
were all very short runs, but I'm just happy to have gotten the runs in, period. So no complaints for me. I'm happy about it. I actually feel kind of almost like I'm getting more... or back into the groove kind of thing after kind of maybe struggling in some ways with just crazy scheduling and summer heat. And it's been a little bit better the last couple of days. We actually had an oddball day of rain, which made no sense here in Northern California, where it's been super, super hot for the last forever, seemingly.
Yeah, it's been more humid.
Yeah.
Which maybe is good because it's training me for Kauai.
Well, it's not quite that bad. But, but yeah, overall, I'm just happy to get in a few runs, and I'm just going to really just focus on trying to be consistent going forward, since I don't have, I think my next full marathon is November. Am I correct in that?
That sounds right.
Okay. So I've got a long time to build up to that, so I'm not stressing about distance or anything. If anything, I just want to make sure I just get my days in. So yeah, so that was the running week. The only other thing was we did register for another race. I don't know if it counts as registering for another race because it's the day before a different race. So we registered for the Rock and Roll San Jose 5K, which is on the Saturday of that weekend in October, right?
Yeah, October.
As I say it with confidence. We're already registered for the 10K on Sunday. We just added the 5K on Saturday, and we're now going to be taking part in the...
Remix challenge,
okay.
I think,
yeah,
which is if you do the 5K and 10K, or if you do the 5K and the half marathon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're just going to make a weekend of that and two races back to back, which should be interesting because I don't know. I was going to try to run fast for the 10K, but now I don't know what that changes by doing the 5K the day before. Just go all out for both. I don't know. Got time to figure it out, I guess. So, all right. So before we jump into running news, just a little bit of quick podcast news. Just want to make sure everybody's aware of. We did a little update to our feed that kind of sends you the podcast. And the cover art for the show has changed just a little bit. We just kind of changed the logo a little bit. So you'll notice a slight difference there. Nothing drastic. And with the feed, the only downside that could possibly happen is it shouldn't affect 90% of people. But the only thing that could happen is it might automatically download some old episodes that you already have listened to. So if that's the case, I do apologize for that. But that kind of happens sometimes with podcast feeds.
And you can just listen to them again.
I do not want anybody to suffer that badly again. That would be horrible.
Just delete them.
And then the podcast should now, you should now be able to find us on Windows Phone, the official Microsoft apps on Windows Phone 7, 8, and 8.1. So if you've looked for us before on those locations. Mm-hmm. And you didn't find us. I know for sure you can find us there now because I had to borrow somebody else's phone who had a Windows phone
so that
I could check, because otherwise I have no idea. I don't have a Windows phone. So, yeah, that's a little bit of podcast news. Just want to make you aware of that. Let's get into running news. First off, races from this past weekend. Beach to Beacon 10K, which we're going to mention a little bit, which is in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very far from us.
Yeah.
And then the Angeles Crest 100, which we'll also talk a little bit about. And that's kind of that came across the radar.
Yeah, in terms of big races, yeah. Well-known races.
So kind of a quiet weekend. So what do we got for news? Outdoor Retailer is coming up this coming weekend, which is it's kind of an industry show for outdoor companies. So you see a lot of like backpack companies, shoe companies. So this coming week, you see a lot of announcements about shoes and gear sometimes, and mm-hmm. a lot of running companies there. But the one news that caught my eyes today was from Hoka, because I'm kind of a Hoka guy. I know people are probably sick of me talking about Hokas, but
you're also a shoe guy.
That's true. The shoes just in general kind of interest me. But Hoka's announcing five new models that are coming out in spring of 2015. I'm not going to go through them all because there's obviously five and that would get quite in depth. And some of them, I don't even understand where they're going to fit into the line and what they're going to do with the old shoes. Probably the most interesting one is the Challenger ATR, which is basically the trail version of the Clifton. So I know a few people who have gotten the Cliftons and liked them. And I'm about half a minute away from ordering a pair of Cliftons because I really want to try them out. I've kind of been holding back from ordering a pair for myself. So so new models for Hoka coming out in 2015. Other running companies, Runtastic, which I know a lot of people use their app on their phone to track their run. It's another one of those apps where you kind of track your mileage and your pace and all that stuff and is kind of your running log. They are coming out with their own fitness tracker. So along the lines of Fitbit and Nike Fuel and Jawbone Up, and it seems like everybody has one of these wearable fitness trackers, and
right.
if they don't, they have one coming soon. But kind of interesting to see Runtastic coming out with their own. It's going to start shipping on August 11th. Price tag is $120. I can't say it's the best looking that I've seen when it comes to fitness trackers. Looks a little bit looks a little wide, and the button on the front is quite large. I think larger than it needs to be, but it does have a little tiny display that will show your steps if you're doing step tracking. It is waterproof. The most interesting thing about it does sleep tracking too, and obviously your steps and all that stuff. The most interesting thing is that if you're using the Runtastic app on your phone, you can sync it with the wearable on your wrist, and it will actually, while you're running, it supposedly will display your time and your mileage and your pace on the unit.
I like that.
So
that's unique.
Yeah, I mean, I'm somebody who uses a different app on my phone, and I just get my mileage from my ears by listening to the app, or then I have to actually pull out my phone. This kind of gives you an additional way to just have it on your wrist. So if you're going to do the tracker route and you're going to have a phone on you anyways, this might be a good idea. Although from what I understand, it's kind of hard to read in the sunlight, which could be a problem.
Okay.
And I think you can only show one thing at a time. So you can only see either your distance or your time.
Not
or your
all three
pace.
At the same time.
It's not similar to a Garmin where you can have several things on the screen, or obviously it's not going to show as much on the phone. But $120, a little bit on the high end of the kind of the wearable range, I think, at this point. But I think it's probably worth taking a look, especially if you use the Runtastic app.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely
that
worth
makes sense.
Taking a look. All right, other news. Beach to Beacon 10K in Maine. Kind of an interesting race. It's a race that actually attracts a lot of fast people. Mm-hmm. And by fast people, we mean actual elites. So this year, Gemma Steele of Great Britain actually edged out Shalane Flanagan for the victory. And when we say edged out, we really mean edged out. It actually came down to a sprint finish where Shalane kind of missed out by less than a second. I mean, their times are almost identical opposed to time. I mean, it wasn't a photo finish. You could obviously see who won.
Right.
But very close at the end. So I know Shalane was hoping to kind of win that one, but she did get edged out just at the end there. On the men's side, Kenyan Badan Kuroki was the winner in 27:36, and American Ben True finished third. Meb was also there. I know he finished 13th, I'm sorry, and he's been dealing with a hamstring issue, so that might be kind of why he finished there. Jordan Hesse finished fourth, and Desiree Linden finished ninth, kind of some of the big names that were there on that one. Other news from elites, mainly the women. Kara Goucher will be returning to racing at the R&R Philadelphia Half Marathon, which is in September. This is actually going to be her first race since September of last year.
Really?
Yeah. And her goal for this year is kind of set on either running the Chicago Marathon or the New York City Marathon at the end of the year. So maybe it's kind of see how the training goes
and then
see how that race goes and then kind of decide. And then the other big name that will be at R&R Philadelphia is going to be Dina Caster.
Nice.
Big time American favorite. So, yeah. All right. Next up, Angeles Crest 100.
Yeah. So that happened this weekend as well, as you mentioned. So 100 miler in Southern California. So not as far from us as Beach to Beacon, 10K, right. A little bit closer. So just wanted to go over just a couple things there. So overall winner was Roberto Romero in 19:28:01. And again, speaking of female, fast female, Pam Smith actually set a new course record in 21:04:18, actually besting Angela Chartel's 21:21:13 from last year. And the 2015 race for Angeles Crest 100 sold out already in 16 minutes. So I think registration was up, I believe it was yesterday, and it's sold out. So this is a race that is 362
one day away.
Yeah. So, wow.
Yeah, I was amazed to see that on the website. I just happened to go check it out, and, you know, it was just weird to see, oh, sold out for 2015.
You're like, wait,
and
I'm, what?
Wait, what year is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is next year.
Right, didn't this just happen?
Yeah. So if you want it in 2016 is your next chance.
Right.
All right, so should we talk about SF now?
We should.
Okay, so this could be a long one. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting conversation, at least. It's not, I don't know how to describe it. So SF Marathon was actually almost 2 weeks ago now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we did kind of mention it right after it happened, but we didn't go into details of it because I don't think we knew too much about what was going on with SF. So in the recent days since, I think the marathon has caught a lot of attention, at least here locally in the San Francisco Bay Area, with coverage on local websites and newspapers, which we could have a whole another discussion about just kind of the general media covering running and just not understanding running. I think we'll touch on that a little bit. But I guess the main thing was SF Marathon apparently had some issues and had some problems.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the number one problem that they had was aid stations. And what the issue was, it seems like the second half of the marathon, there was basically no electrolyte drinks out there, period, at all. I heard lots of people that just there was nothing out there, period.
Right.
They had issues with not enough water out there. And they had issues with just plain flat out just running out of cups for water. So lots of issues for the last half of the race with aid stations and having water and having electrolytes out there. So, I mean, we actually got this from, it was covered in a few articles here locally. We actually both went to their Facebook page and just kind of combed through all the comments to see what everybody was saying about the race. Lots of people said, had a blast, great race, no problems.
Mm-hmm.
But there was obviously an overwhelmingly large number of people that said, you know, there was water issues, that there was no electrolyte, period. So I'm pretty sure that's what happened. It isn't one of those where it seemed like, oh, a couple people said, you know, this wasn't out there.
Right.
So apparently that was for sure an issue.
Mm-hmm. And I guess if it was a lack of, if you want to say electrolyte drink and or water in the second half of the marathon, that would also be for the duration of the second half marathon.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So
because
the weird thing about the San Francisco Marathon, there's actually the San Francisco Marathon, which is 26.2 miles. And then there's two half marathons. There's what they call the first half and the second half, which is the first 13 half, miles of the full or the second 13 miles of the full. So the people that did the second half basically said there was no electrolytes, period.
Right.
That they ever got to see on the race. And then there was water issues throughout the race.
Right.
Which is sad and crazy. I did apparently look up, in total there were supposed to be 12 aid stations for the race, which is not a huge number
for the full marathon.
Mm-hmm. It was I think it's safe to say an unusually warm weekend for the San Francisco Marathon. It does start early, and San Francisco is traditionally very cool, so it's not a race that you think to have hydration issues or, you know, heat warnings or anything like that. You know, it doesn't have the potential danger of maybe a Chicago Marathon could have on a hot year, but it wasn't usually warm, and you expect to have water out there and you expect to have electrolytes out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I still don't know exactly what happened.
Yeah. I mean, I know there was lots of different information, whether fact or not, but in one of the articles that was covered in, you know, somebody who is actually from the race itself actually said that the that there was some delay in water delivery for some of the locations, causing low water levels. And says, as soon as we were alerted to the delay, we responded immediately and supplied additional water to those areas. Now, obviously, that's not very specific, but so there was at least some sort of a delay in water delivery. That's one thing for sure.
Yeah, so the race did kind of cop to the fact that there was issues with the race. They did offer an apology on their Facebook page, and I didn't see it on their website. I'll just assume that they put it somewhere on the website. I didn't specifically look for it, but I did see it on their Facebook page. And I'm just going to read the first part of that. So, quote, as we wrap our 2014 race, it has come to our attention that there were points of concern from race participants. The San Francisco Marathon apologizes for any perceived lack of support they may have encountered on the course this year, end quote. So that's only the first couple lines of the apology that they posted, which, to be honest, actually annoyed me like crazy.
And you weren't the only one.
No, a couple other people kind
of pretty vocal about it.
We're on the same page as me. And what really kind of ticked me off, and I didn't even run this race at all. But when they said they apologize for any perceived lack of support, maybe an English teacher will correct me. But when I hear that, it makes me think like, oh, you know, you might have thought there was a lack of support, but there was lots of support. So it makes me seem
like, I'm sorry if you thought that there was, but there wasn't.
Yeah, you as a participant might have just been wrong in thinking that there was a lack of support. Mm-hmm. When in this situation, I think there was a clear lack of support. When there's no electrolyte the second half of the race and the aid stations don't have water, that's an actual lack of support. There's no perception involved. So,
right.
Like I said, maybe an English teacher will tell me I'm reading into that too much or I'm wrong. I don't know, but that's how I read it. And that kind of annoyed me. And I didn't even run the race. You know, had I run the race, I think I would have been super annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I said, you know, a lot of people did it with no problems. I think the bad thing is when stuff like this always happens, it always affects kind of slower back of the pack runners more than it does the front runners. Because what usually happens is front runners run through and, you know, there's enough water for them. And it's those people that take longer that not only have to be out there longer, but then they're out there longer without any support. So it was kind of a bummer to hear that the race kind of had these issues in general. I do want to thank Dave, who is a listener who kind of chimed in on the subject. He did point out that at least on one of the aid stations they were putting, and he said literally, I think, an ounce of water in the cups,
right?
Which were very, very small cups. So it was those, I think
they're like those tiny little Dixie cups, like tiny ones.
Yeah, if you run enough races, there's pretty much two sizes of cups. The what I'll call it, the nice size cups, and then the ones that,
like the shot glass size.
The shot glass, or I always equate it to, it's the one you get at your dentist office when they tell you to rinse out, you know, here's your little bit of water, rinse out your mouth type of thing. So it did look like the small cups, and not only from Dave, but in reading comments, lots of people said they were basically not putting enough water in the cup, so people had to grab several cups, which could have contributed to running out of cups.
Right.
Which then just,
even
you know,
if you had fluid.
Yeah, it's just snowballs from one problem to the next problem, which is just crazy. I did see one comment on that somebody posted on Facebook that said they went to take two cups and they said, no, there's a drought, which I thought was hysterical because what does the drought have to do with drinking water at a race? But I thought that was funny more than anything. So, I mean, I can see people kind of being annoyed or upset at that situation. I know Dave said he had his own bottle, and so it didn't really affect him.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of other people I was reading said they had brought their own either pack or bottle, and so the issue didn't affect them. I know Dave got a refill at least one of the aid stations, refilled his bottle, no problem there.
Right.
But I think it's safe. You know, I always go to a race, and I normally don't take a bottle, and I kind of assume that, you know, the aid stations will be there and just hope there's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I know a couple of people on Facebook were kind of saying that, you know, oh, I saw people down and, you know, it's because of this. And well, you know, at the end of the day, I think we have to take some responsibility for ourselves, that if it's a warm day and there's not enough water for you, you need
maybe
to back
off. Maybe
you have
to pull the plug.
Yeah.
And kinda, just like, this isn't your day.
Yeah. Call it a day, walk, relax. I saw a couple of people said they actually stopped at a store to buy electrolyte drinks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you are running through San Francisco. That's so
that
why
gives you should always carry cash.
That's actually a good,
see?
A good message.
You just
there.
Don't know.
So, kind of a bummer that was kind of the major issues with the race. I know they had an app for tracking that basically didn't work. Period.
Right.
So that was another major complaint that
a lot
people
of frustration
had
right off the get go.
Yeah. What else? I know several people said that they had issues with, they apparently fell behind the cutoff of the race and were instructed to go to the sidewalk, which is standard procedure. No issues there, but they didn't know where to go. So I was reading one person's kind of recount of the race where they basically said they were looking for tossed cups and used gels on the ground to kind of mark their path to get to the finish line because they weren't exactly sure how to get to the finish line. Now, I don't know if that's an oddball situation or that happens a lot. I know they said eventually somebody came on a bike and actually gave them a map to get to the finish line. So the race, I think, must have been prepared in some ways for people kind of falling behind mm-hmm. the race. But it sounded like several people wish they had just left the course markers up on the side of the road. That way you just know where to go.
Yeah.
Just in general. Even if you're just on the sidewalk trying to finish the race. I don't know how much obligation the race has to kind of take care of you or get you to the finish if you're way beyond the cutoff time, because they did advertise it's a 6-hour cutoff, I think, for the full. Although it did sound from lots of people's recounts of the race that maybe the city or the race kind of opened up the streets a little bit sooner
than what would have been the proper cutoff time.
Yeah. So I never know. You know, I got to give the race the benefit on the doubt, I guess, on that one, because that's kind of a hard thing to judge. You know, you're out there on the race and you don't know exactly maybe where you're at or what your pace is.
Right.
And so, you know, it might seem soon to you or not. I don't know. But
that's always a tough one, though, because, I mean, you know what the cutoff is. And assuming that you're behind the cutoff, if you're choosing to continue, you're basically on your own.
Right.
You know, meaning not only are you not going to get aid, but you're on your own to figure out the rest of the course, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would have been nice to have course markers or something. Yeah. But I don't think it's like, I wouldn't expect it.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that's fair. I've never criticized a race for that type of thing.
Right.
You know, 'cause we do know the cutoffs. You know, every race has a different cutoff. You know, you see a lot of 6 hours, 6.5, 7, mm-hmm. All the way up to lots of 8-hour races to yeah. Honolulu, we said was no cutoff, right?
Yeah, we'll wait for you to come through whenever yeah. it is.
So if you're going to be up against the cutoff time, you probably need to be a little bit prepared for these things where you're probably going to need to know how to get to the finish line towards the end. Maybe take a course map with you, print one
exactly.
out, take one with you, and make sure you have your own water
mm-hmm.
To sustain you at the end of the race.
Right.
Not necessarily the whole final 13 miles of the race, but maybe the last few miles if you're going to end up up against that. And I think they did leave the finish line there and people did get their medals, even that,
yeah, did that,
that finished beyond their 6 hour mm-hmm. thing, beyond the 6 hour time limit. So that was good. But just kind of an odd situation. It was interesting that from our local media here, they kind of criticized the organization of the race. They said that, and from quotes from other people, that although the San Francisco Marathon has had the same race director for a long period of time, that it's been a lot of other people in the organization that has had a lot of turnover,
mm-hmm.
which the article tried to claim, led to issues, and even kind of trying to cite that the SF Marathon has had some financial issues, which I don't know. That's the first time I've ever heard of that.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
know
the only
that's
thing,
not,
and that's the only place that I read that anywhere. So,
and I'm only mentioning that because that was just kind of how some local media portrayed it, which seemed to be kind of on the race in just some odd ways. It was interesting that the race kind of said, you know, or the one of the articles that I read said, you know, people basically paid a lot of money for a very expensive race.
Oh, right.
Basically, yeah. $100, which if you've been listening to us for a long time, you know that $100 for a full marathon is not actually a very expensive race
right.
at all. So, yeah, it's people paid their hard-earned money. So if there was an issue with the race, I think they have the right to complain. But, yeah, I think it's inaccurate to call San Francisco Marathon an expensive marathon.
Right.
When we have...
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with it being
you know,
expensive.
Chicago's
marathon.
More. New York's way more. You know, all the Disney... I mean, how much is a Disney 10K?
Right.
Probably
more than that, probably.
Yeah.
Kauai is more.
Yeah, I don't think that was quite a fair thing to say.
But I guess that's one of the things you were talking about where it's people that aren't quite familiar with racing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's their perspective of $100. Oh, that's a lot, you know, for a full marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the one interesting thing is that I am. Just to remind people, we have actually not done the San Francisco Marathon.
Right.
So we're going off of what we read and comments from other people. And one of the downsides about the San Francisco Marathon being it's the closest big city here. It's a huge city here on the West Coast. Yet the marathon is kind of dwarfed in many, many ways compared to other cities. I mean, the San Francisco Marathon is truthfully just doesn't compare to Chicago, New York, obviously Boston, and not even in L.A. in terms of prestige. And in terms of numbers of people,
right?
I know one of the big things that they said with San Francisco was San Francisco Marathon was 80% locals.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, they mean people in California. So it's not even a huge tourist draw.
Mm-hmm.
The other interesting thing is, you know, they kind of claim San Francisco Marathon is a, you know, a 20,000 person marathon, but that's for all three events. the actual full marathon usually only has about 6,000 finishers, mm-hmm. which puts California International Marathon in Sacramento actually has usually a couple hundred more than right. San Francisco in terms of finishers. So that's just kind of disappointing.
A couple thousand sometimes. Sometimes they have up to 8,000.
Well, but I'm going finishers. By finishers.
I don't finishers. That's
actual
right.
finishers,
okay, gotcha.
Not registered. So I don't think
a couple hundred more.
Yeah, I think CIM and San Francisco both are usually around that 6,000 mark in terms of actual finishers. So it's just kind of a disappointment with San Francisco being this iconic, huge city, mm-hmm. big, you know, landmark here on the West Coast, and just that the marathon is so small.
It doesn't have that same
It's just
feeling
so different.
And same,
it's
yeah.
on a different level. And right. part of the problem might be because they do have the half marathons on the same day, same mm-hmm. time. And so if and I'm not saying to do that. Don't send me hate mail. If they were to get rid of the half marathons, I wonder what the full marathon numbers would be.
Yeah, I think the full marathon numbers would go up. I don't think they'd go up to 20,000. Yeah.
And I don't know if it'll turn into some tourist destination and really draw a lot of outside people
right.
By making that change. But, you know, that I'm just echoing kind of my disappointment or my hope that, you know, San Francisco would be kind of just on a higher level than what it is, which probably accounts for the fact that we've never found the need to kind of run over there and do mm-hmm. the race. So,
right. And I think they didn't help their cause with this year's event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't think our local media helped them at all.
Yeah.
Either. Right. So, and like we said, I mean, I kind of opened it with it and I'm going to finish with it. You know, lots of people did the race and had no problems.
Right.
Lots of people have done the race every year and been super happy with it. So everybody has a little bit different experience and a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. But you do, race, but when you do hear from many people.
Yeah.
About common themes
right.
with the event, then, you know, there was something going on.
All right. Is there anything else we want to say about the race before we get into the stranger part of the race?
No.
I know that made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. Are you talking about?
Yeah, the half marathon.
Okay. All right. So, I was like, what?
Okay. So we had an issue with the first half marathon mm-hmm. on the women's side. The issue was we had our winner of the women's half marathon. She was first across the line.
Right.
Apparently, we did have our second place and we had our third place.
Mm-hmm.
The issue that kind of arose was the woman who was credited with finishing fourth place actually had the fastest chip time.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, she didn't start up front.
Right.
Up on the line. And so
she actually ended up having, I guess, a few minute difference between gun time and chip time.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas the first three female finishers did not have as big of a difference between their chip time and gun time.
Mm-hmm. She was reportedly very upset because she looked at the results, saw that she had the fastest time, and thought she was the winner of the race mm-hmm. or should have been the winner of the race. And she thought it would be a simple issue of just emailing the race and getting that corrected, because obviously on chip time she was the fastest person. She did that, and of course the race told her the policy is that, you know, for the winners of the race and actually the top three, they go by gun time regardless of chip time.
Right.
And I guess we should start to say that is the norm.
Yeah.
That is the standard.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what we expect in racing. It's always first one to the line wins. We always go by gun time for the winner of the race. Yes, you know, for most of us normals in the pack, you know, when we're going for our age groups and all that stuff, that goes by chip time.
By chip time.
And that's how, you know, we're awarded all that. But when you're talking about a race, it's the first one to the line that wins.
Yeah.
If you want to
compete.
That's
why you line up front.
Yeah.
If you think you have a chance of winning.
Yeah. If you want to compete for the overall win of a race, you have to get yourself to that as close to the front as you possibly can.
Right.
If it's a huge race where, you know, we're talking massive races where there's an elite field seated in there, then you're going to have to contact the race director and go through
and
whatever process
there.
You need to get mm-hmm. seated in there. And to do
that. First corral or elite corral or whatever it may be.
Right. You're going to have to prove that you're fast enough to be there, obviously. But,
exactly.
But that's the standard. That's the norm. So, I mean, if, you know, we always have new people that are listening. New to running, that's the standard. That's the norm. You shouldn't mm-hmm. expect any different. It's first one to the line wins. It's gun time for the winner of the race.
Yeah.
So, but this woman was apparently upset and disappointed. I don't want to use the word devastated because I don't think she used that word. But,
yeah, no, but disappointed and
but very disappointed,
upset.
Which, you know, my first reaction was, I don't know why she's so disappointed. I mean, did she go to the race thinking she was win the race? I mean, I would be thrilled that, you know, I finished
fourth
out of everybody.
Kidding.
I would be so excited out of my mind, it'd be unbelievable. But regardless, but the race, you know, explained to her in reply, which I don't think she was too happy with the response, but, you know, replied that that's the policy and that's what's stated, in their rules. And that's mm-hmm. actually, U.S. track and field rules, and that's the standard for all the races.
And I've read that many a time when looking at different race websites.
Yeah. And then to kind of harp on our local media again, you know, this kind of made the articles in the papers, and, you know, when you have people who are unfamiliar with running kind of approaching this stuff, they kind of come at it the angle that, you know, they almost kind of agreed that it was unfair, and, you know, things should, there was talk of, you know, oh, you know, what changes can be made, and maybe we should recognize the gun time winner and the chip time winner from every single race, which would just be weird because I'm assuming that 80% of the time, 90% of the time, it's going to be the same person.
Right.
So what are you going to do?
Because you're going to be in front of the line.
10% of the time, you're going to have this random thing happen and somebody surprise you, which could happen, which is awesome. But, you know, I don't know about kind of flipping everything, you know, upside down just to accommodate these rare occasions.
Right.
Especially since we all should know these rules going in. And if you didn't know the rule, you kind of know it now.
Right.
We're putting you on notice. So
lesson learned.
Yeah. So anything else you want to say about that?
I mean,
the most interesting thing and the funny thing about this is in the end, the
update,
it didn't matter.
Right.
Because the race officials actually had to update their timing. And it turns out she actually had the fourth fastest time.
Right.
Or was it third or fourth?
Third chip
fastest
time. By chip time.
So the winner who won the race based on gun time actually did, in the end, have the fastest chip time.
Right. And
so,
second place, same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the only thing she can claim at this point is third place.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of wish, I mean, I don't know what happened with the timing to kind of
have that be off.
Have that issue.
Yeah.
Or what was going on there. But I mean, we've checked, I think, two or three times since just to make sure that we're correct and the official timing. And it is, you know, this woman who, you know, was given a fourth place finish, who thought she won, now according to official results, is still fourth place, obviously, because she wasn't the top three to cross the line, but she actually had the third fastest chip time. So in the end, all of this doesn't matter, which made it just crazier.
But even if that hadn't changed, I mean, that still brought up a concern that, well, a concern that I think wasn't a concern. Like,
right.
I don't think this should have even been an issue or a debate or
a need to go change anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or even to be covered by media.
Yeah.
To me, it's a non-issue. It's like, oh, I think you just didn't read, you know, the information that states how overall winners are decided.
Right.
Yeah.
And the basis for this is you need to be able to race head to head against somebody.
Right. Like a lot of people were saying, it's not a time trial.
Right. If it's just about who has the fastest chip time, regardless of everything else that happens, it's a time trial.
Exactly. And so maybe you're going to start further back and find out what the leaders are doing. And then you're going to run, I mean, assuming you have the capability,
right,
you know, you're going to run just a little bit faster to beat them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, knowing where they are
in terms of
that or what you need to win.
Yeah. The argument is you could sneakily start several minutes back.
Mm-hmm.
And then the leaders don't know that you're actually ahead of them on time.
Right.
And so you could just catch up to the leader and just chill behind them and they would never know.
Right.
And you know, the argument is that, you know, if you're one of these runners that, you know, say this woman had the fastest gun time, but she didn't have the chip time. Had this other woman been there to race against her, maybe she would have run 2 minutes faster.
Right.
We don't know.
Yep.
So that's why, you know, it's all
it's a head-to-head
on the basis
thing.
Of you have to be able to see who you're racing against.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, going off gun time and just getting yourself to the front is the only way to do it that I can possibly think of. Like you said, the alternative is let's do time trials.
Right.
Which
I mean,
doesn't seem fun to me.
Exactly.
At all. Watch them in cycling, but I don't know about running time trials. Although you do find, you know, local small races that do mile races that have heats and, you know.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, I know there was some talk about, well, how do we remedy this issue? And
there's
to me,
no
it's
remedy.
Like, there is no issue.
Right,
know?
There's no issue.
Yeah, there's
to be
no
remedy,
issue. So. People are like, oh, maybe you have two separate categories, the winner of the race itself and the time trial winner. I'm like, no, this isn't a time trial. Yeah, I don't know. This whole situation just kind of irked me.
I'm kind of difficult to irk,
I think, sometimes with stuff like this. So. Yeah,
it's kind of easy for me to go on a rant and kind of get annoyed by stuff. But
this one,
in terms of the gun time, chip time thing, I think you were a little bit annoyed. I was a little more annoyed on the other side of just the race.
Yeah, I would agree. We had several discussions on this whole thing.
Yeah,
leading up to this. So,
on the flip side, you can register now for the San Francisco Marathon next year. If you want in. It is still a reasonable race. I think it's 115 is what I saw. I think that's what they said for the early reg for next year.
Okay.
So, you know, I've said before, I'm going to do the race someday. I don't know if it's going to be next year. And this isn't going to have any effect on me, whether I do the San Francisco Marathon next year or not, to be perfectly honest. I think sometimes the best time to do a race is the year after they have an issue, because they're going to be on point with you know, with whatever was the issue, and if not just everything in general. So maybe it's a good year to go do it. But I'm not going to let this kind of chase me away from the race. I got to go do it at some point in time. It's just a big city race to go do. And it's, you know, like we said, in some ways it's the biggest city close to us. So we got to go do that marathon at some point in time.
Right.
So, but yeah. All right. So we're done with oddball race drama, aid station issues.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Let me catch my breath here. All right, let's move on.
You're way too excited about this whole topic.
Well, we just kind of went back and forth the last couple of days, kind of talking through all the issues and going back and forth and just reading all the stories. And then, you know, when I found out, wait a minute, you know, the timing was wrong and, you know, this mm-hmm. other woman did
like,
win.
In the end, it didn't even matter. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. We're going to talk about a piece of gear. We actually had several listeners recommend a piece of gear that they said they were very happy with and said we should kind of check out. And it was pretty cool. And so we actually did do that. And the piece of gear we're talking about is the Flip Belt.
Mm-hmm.
So Flip Belt was actually kind enough to send us a product to try out.
Thank you.
And we actually both tried out this Flip Belt for, I think we both kind of passed it back and forth and tried it over the last 5 weeks. So it wasn't like a one
time run. That just sounds weird.
Well, yeah. A little bit. It was a little weird. I don't know. So I guess first thing, I mean, I think many people know what a Flip Belt is because they've actually done a really good job of being at expos.
Yeah,
because I think they're at every expo that I've gone to. So they're actually done a really good job with that. But just in case, what is a Flip Belt?
So a Flip Belt, I mean, quickest way to describe it, it's a singular tubular waistband. So I'll explain a little bit more if you're still kind of like, what the heck is that? So it's a belt that's made of moisture wicking spandex lycra blend, and it slides right on. So it doesn't have a clasp or anything to it, or any sort of strap that you would have to attach.
So you either have to step into it.
Yeah. So I was going to say,
pull it up or go over your head and pull it down.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think I actually went over my head and pulled it down, and I think you stepped into it.
I stepped into
it. Which is interesting because I just, when I put it on, I'm like, yeah, you just put it on this way, right? And then when you were putting it on, you're like, well, I just stepped into it, right? And we're like, okay, two people just, you know, doing it totally different, but it works both either
way. Right, there's
no right or wrong. Yeah, there's no issue. It actually sits snug right onto your hip. So it's basically a single tube with a few horizontal slits into it where you can actually put what you need in the belt that you need with you, whether you're running or doing some other sort of exercise. So be it, get a gel, choose a phone. If it's a lot of different phones.
Yeah. So, I mean,
both at the same time, but you know, a lot of different phones. I fit my inhaler in here, other medications, keys, and there actually is a little strap on the inside with a little clip. So you can clip like your key or keychain onto it. So it doesn't just, it doesn't just slide around in there. What else? I mean, anything that you would need to take with you, money?
Yeah, no, it'll fit whatever you want in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll actually ID. Probably, I didn't try to load it up and throw, you know, tons of stuff in there. It's about 3 inches tall, to kind of give you an idea. Makes it kind of a spandex fabric.
Right.
We got the black
one. It's
a
little stretch to it. Right.
You can get in any color. They have tons of different colors.
Yeah. So you're getting ahead here.
Okay.
But so I'm still describing it.
All right,
so,
sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. So once you put the things into the slits themselves, you actually flip the belt. Mm-hmm. So now the slits are up against your body.
Mm-hmm.
So your things that you put in there can't just fall out.
Right.
So they're held snug onto your body that way they're not bouncing around like on the outer part of the belt.
Mm-hmm.
So hence the name Flip Belt.
Right. Which there you go. Thank you.
Yeah. Which is genius. I mean, that's basically what it is. You slip it on, put your stuff inside, and then flip it, and then you're good to go. So, and you don't have to completely unflip it to get your stuff out. You know, like when you're running.
Yeah, you can just flip the edge and reach
exactly,
in.
Exactly. Or just reach in between the belt and your body and then get whatever you need from there. So it might be a little bit harder to reach into to get things out than maybe some other belts, but it also holds the things a lot more secure. So you can't like just lose a goo, you know, or gel as you're running or something, which I've seen before with other belts. Like on races, you know, you see people lose stuff
and
you're like, oh, yeah, they just lost that one from that elastic little band or whatever. So
I mean, I actually ran a little bit with it basically not flipped against my body. Not the slits on the outside, just to see if anything would fall out.
I didn't even think of that.
I just threw a couple goos in there and I had my phone and I didn't feel as though anything was going to fall out.
Okay, good.
But obviously flipping it to your body is the prescribed super safe way to make sure nothing pops out at all.
Right. And like I said, I put like a inhaler, which isn't a tiny thing, you know, and it's not flat, you know, put that in there. And it didn't feel bulky. Put my phone in there. It didn't feel bulky. And the biggest thing for me, which I've had issues with other belts in the past, is it didn't bounce. That was my biggest thing.
Yeah, I think I've talked about it in the past. I don't really like the waist belt stuff because of the bouncing issue.
Right.
I just haven't found anything that worked. I will give credit for this one to the fact that it doesn't really bounce. Right. I was pretty comfortable with it around my waist. It didn't bother me as compared to some other stuff. Now, one thing granted, this doesn't carry water. So
right.
It's different than
like a typical hydration.
A fuel belt or yeah, you know, one yeah. of those brand names.
Right.
This just carries your stuff. No water at right. all. But in terms of that, it didn't bounce, which is the number one problem I have with every single other one. So I was mm-hmm. actually kind of pretty happy with that.
Right. Yeah. And like I mentioned, it doesn't have a clasp or a buckle or a strap or anything that could cause irritation or chafing. So mm-hmm. that's good. It's machine washable and machine dryable. And like you mentioned, it comes in different colors. I think mm-hmm. you were saying that we have the black one, but it does come in a variety of other colors. So whatever you prefer, you know, black, pink, orange, blue, yellow, purple, et cetera. And then it does come in different sizes. Because obviously if it doesn't have a strap to it or right. something, and it does have the website for Flipbelt does have a sizing guide and chart mm-hmm. so that you can figure out what the best size is for you.
Yeah. And to get ours, we just kind of cut it in the middle and just went between with the size two, that would yeah. work for both of us. So we can both try
right,
it out.
Exactly. And it actually did work for both of us. That's funny. I forgot we had done that. So.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, one good thing, I mean, if you're honestly interested in it, they are at a lot of expos. Mm-hmm. So that's a good chance to go
and take a look.
Go and try it on. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can get your exact size or, you know, if not, just try it out. But at least to get your sizing right, if not your local running store period anyways.
Right.
We'll just have it. But, yeah, I was kind of impressed with that. It was interesting because I did throw my phone in there, which was kind of nice to get my phone out of my armband.
Although yeah, because that's where you typically carry yours.
I carry my phone on my armband 99% of the time. The only time I don't is when I somehow wasn't planning to run, so I didn't have it with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually put the phone in the flip belt on my hip, which is a really odd place to put it because it kind of sticks out in a way.
Because,
you know, when it's right on your hip, it's not against your body.
It's kind right. of, it's like off, it's like yeah. out a little bit. Yeah.
But was super comfortable. I then tried it on kind of.
You okay over there? You got a hairball?
Yeah. I put it in the back, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, on your lower back, right above your rear end, I guess the best way to describe
nice.
It.
Nice.
And I mean, it was fine. It didn't bounce like crazy or anything, but just felt different to me because I'm not used to carrying anything back there.
Yeah.
And I was just saying, oh, this is kind of weird having this phone back there, you know, right. it just seemed weird. But so to me, the most comfortable was on my hip, which I think would look kind of odd because it does stick out a little bit, but I found
I mean, does
it super
really
comfortable.
Matter no. if it feels comfortable to you, then go with it. Yeah, I mean, I actually did put my phone in a couple of different spots just to see. I didn't put it on like my hip itself, but just on just a little bit inside more, like mm-hmm. just like on the side of like my abdomen or whatever, and right, it felt right. fine there. And I did put it on my back, like where you said, I guess above your butt.
Mm-hmm.
But that's typically where I carry my phone, so it didn't feel that different right. to me. So yeah. Because it might have felt a little odd to you. So anything that I left out?
No, I think you covered it pretty well.
Yeah. So, I mean, now I understand why we've gotten good feedback and recommendations from other people and listeners.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we only kind of looked at it because people had said that they had tried it and they liked it. And they probably had heard me at least complain about the waist, you know, carrying stuff on your waist in the past. You know, I've had problems because and I normally wear a pair of shorts. My typical running shorts have a pocket in the back where I put my goo. But, mm-hmm. you know, for a marathon and I'm carrying quite a few goo, it tends to feel like it's pulling down my shorts.
Yeah.
So that's always a problem, especially if it rains. You know, your shorts get heavy and wet and I feel like I'm going to lose my pants at some point while I'm running.
Right.
So this would kind of, you know, at least alleviate that problem. So I think for that, it definitely has some positives to look at if you're looking for something like
right.
that. Like
absolutely.
I said, it doesn't carry water. So, I mean, if that's important to you, you're going to have to look. Mm-hmm. elsewhere, or you're gonna have to carry this and then maybe a handheld bottle
mm-hmm.
Or if you're doing a pack,
or find little bottles of water that'll fit in the flip belt. Hey,
so if you want to run
work.
With a flask, this could actually be
with whatever desired fluid you want in it
a really good option, apparently, according to you.
Okay, now we've taken like a total turn
left turn.
Yeah.
Okay, alrighty, so anything else you want to say about it?
No, that's
I mean,
it.
We'll put a link to their website.
Yep.
But
check,
I think
check
you can
out.
Find them at you know, your local running store online. I think REI carries them now too.
Yeah, they do.
And definitely at your local sports expo. I think it's worth checking out
mm-hmm.
And giving it a try.
Right.
I think it looks pretty cool too, by the way. I
mean, yeah, yeah.
Kind of think of it as a, I don't know, kind of fits well into the yoga world is kind of how I picture it in some ways.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Because I mean,
it almost looks like the top of
yoga pants. Yes.
Like just that, like the thick, the ones that have like the thick top,
mm-hmm.
it basically looks like that. So if you're wearing certain shorts or pants, mm-hmm. it almost looks like it could just be the top of your pants or shorts.
Right.
Yeah. Like that waistband, that thick waistband kind of.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on the football?
That's it.
Otherwise, I think that's going to wrap it up for us.
Yeah.
Next weekend, we're looking ahead to, we're definitely racing, getting several runs in. We're going to be in Colorado next weekend.
And hopefully we'll see Dale.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll be out there running Ragnar, Colorado, which takes us from, is it Copper Creek?
Copper Mountain.
Copper Mountain.
You keep wanting to say Copper Creek.
I keep doing that.
Yeah.
Just no mass?
Right.
Okay. See, I got something right. Yeah. I'm just going to hop in the van and wherever we go.
Yeah. You just know you're going to be in Colorado the whole time.
Yeah. So, and we will be in van one. I think we're team number 146, maybe. Not sure what team we are.
I think so.
Something like that. I think 146, but we're definitely in van one. Mm-hmm. So, looking forward to that. Weather should be nice and should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, we'll
let you know how it goes.
Yeah. We'll definitely give you some feedback on how that went. my first trip to Colorado, you were obviously there. Just recently.
Two months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll try to, if things aren't too hectic, I'll try to post some pictures.
Yes.
On social media accounts and stuff. Yeah. So
definitely on our personal
sites.
You're Elena on the Run.
Right.
I'm Mark's Running, both on Instagram and Twitter for both of us. So until next time.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.